Good morning, saints. Oh, let's do that one more time. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
I'm like with Brian. I kind of have this heart, Brian, of just, wow, I just love this day. Easter time, Easter service, all the beautiful colors of spring, all the beautiful colors of Easter, and then I look at all of you guys, all the beautiful colors that we're dressed in today, right? I just love this time of year. I know you do, too. You know, but before we're going to get into our message this morning, you know, you're grabbing your outline. We're going to be looking at some things. Before we get into it, let's all get up. Let's rise. Go ahead. Let's rise. Resurrection Sunday, let's rise and let's welcome and express our love for one another this morning. Let's take a minute and do that. Let's go ahead and mingle around and do that. Got to be careful letting you guys out of the cage, huh? No, that's what it's about. That's the love of God shed abroad in our heart. I ask you to express your love for each other, to welcome each other for a purpose today. Today we're going to talk about God's love. Turn your Bibles with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. We're going to look at these four verses. Go ahead and get out your bulletins, get your Bible out, note pen, those kind of things to take some notes, follow along in the outline. Today's message is entitled The Love of God. What we will be seeing today, what we're going to be looking at today, is God's love demonstrated. The demonstration of God's love behind everything, as Tom said. We're going to look at that today. You would agree that love for someone else's acts, right? Would you guys agree with that? That if you have love for someone else, it acts, that love demonstrates itself in an action. I could say, I love you, I love you, I do love you. But if I don't do anything to demonstrate it, how would you know that I love you? You love your spouse, right? Should get some amens here. You do, right? You do many things for them, many, many things, many, many actions, you know, those kind of things that you do, and just demonstrating, showing, exhibiting your care, your nurture, your loving of each other. Husbands, what does Scripture say? Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Isn't that the demonstration that God asked us for? That's the demonstration that God asked us for, to love our wives. To demonstrate it, love your wife like Christ loved the church. You love your kids, amen? Sure we do. We love our kids. You show it many different ways. You love your neighbor and friends? Do you love your neighbors and friends? You know, you help your neighbors out. You loan them a ladder. You help them with, you know, something they have going on. You help them fix their fence. You care about their life. You share about certain things. You listen to their hard things. You counsel from God's word. You encourage. You love the Lord Jesus? Sure you do, and you demonstrate it. The Bible says show it by following him, following his word, obeying him. Love acts. So it is with God. So it is with God. Scripture says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love toward us. God demonstrates his own love toward us. That's what it says. It says it in this way, in that while we were yet sinners, look at it this way, while we were yet offensive to the character of God, while we were yet, verse 10 says, enemies of God, no goodness in us at all, God demonstrated his own love toward us by Christ dying for us. It's an action. It's an act. An action that demonstrates the depth of God's love. One of God's attributes, part of God's character, part of God's nature is love. That's not all he is. It's central and focused and purposeful. But God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God is sovereign. Just to name a few, but we understand and see the centrality of that God is love. And his love, along with his other attributes, his character, his nature, are displayed, shown, demonstrated in the world by an action. A big one. That's what we've been talking about today. It's for us to know God's love. He demonstrates it through an action. The simple definition that's in your outline there of love seen is to act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion. That would mean to sacrifice something of yourself by your own will, willingly, nobody twisting your arm. That's love demonstrated, to act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion, and that's how God demonstrates his love toward us. Now, as we look at our text this morning, look at it with me, John 3, verse 14 through 17. As we look into this text, Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. He's the top teacher to the Jews. He's the top teacher in Israel, and he's burdened in his heart. He has a heaviness in his heart. Even though he knows the Jewish laws, he knows the Word of God, even though he teaches the Word of God, he has a burden in his heart, a heaviness in his heart. He has no assurance of salvation, and he's not sure if he's reconciled back to God. Even though Scripture guides and leads about doing these things, these works that the Jewish Judaism did, and the law of God, he has a heaviness in his heart, a burden in his heart. Something's missing. His assurance of heaven and his reconciliation to God or relationship with God. So he recognizes when Jesus comes, this Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus is a teacher from God. And he seeks from Jesus the answers to what burden his heart. He's seeking from him the answers that he doesn't have. How do I have assurance of heaven? How do I know that I'm reconciled back to God? And we really just kind of drop right into the middle of this text. We drop into the discussion and listen to, we hear Christ, we hear Jesus Christ tell them about the love of God, really, which is the answer to his heart. He tells them the love of God illustrated, that we'll look at that, the love of God given, the love of God believed, and our final point will be the love of God lived. So with love's definition on your heart and mind, remember love's definition? With that on your heart and mind, this is the definition of love, to act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion, and Jesus speaking to one who needs salvation. Let's listen in. And let's listen to Jesus as he tells us about the love of God illustrated. Look at verse 14 with me. So he tells Nicodemus this. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So he says, as Moses was lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, lifted up the serpent, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the Son of God. He's talking about Christ. And he said, even as Moses did, he lifted up a brass serpent on this standard and lifted it up. He says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ must be lifted up. It's an illustration of the crucifixion of the cross. Jesus being crucified for our sin. And we talk about it and we sang about it. The cross is so central to the message of Christ. Like I quoted in Romans 5:8, it's a demonstration of God's love for us. What Jesus is referring to here is a time where Moses lifted up a standard with a brass serpent on it, and it's in Numbers 21 through 4 through 9. Now, we need to turn there and look at what Jesus is referring to. For Nicodemus would have known this well. He would have known the Old Testament passages. Jesus is ministering to his heart, to his burden. So turn with me to Numbers 21, 4 through 9, and listen. Look, let's look at the love of God illustrated. Now, the book of Numbers, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It would be the fourth book in your Bible, so it would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and it would be Numbers. And we're going to look at Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Like I said, Nicodemus would have been very familiar with this, the love of God illustrated. Look at it with me. Let me set the scene for you. God has delivered Israel from the land of Egypt. They've been set free. They are wandering in the wilderness, waiting for God to lead them into the promised land. Some things are happening and all that kind of stuff, but that's what's going on. That's setting the scene. Look at verse 4. This is what Scripture tells us. Then they set out from Mount Or, by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. They're traveling, they're in the wilderness, moving around, waiting for God to take them into the promised land, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The journey's a long one. It's a hard one. It's a difficult one. They spoke against God and Moses, and this is what they said: "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, there's no water, and we loathe this miserable food, manna that came up out of the ground." Here they are complaining. God has set them free from bondage. They've been in slavery for 500 years in Egypt. He's answered their prayer, answered their call. He's been set free, delivered for them from Pharaoh, and they're complaining. Now look at 6 and 7. God writes this: "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. So that many of the people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us.' And Moses interceded for the people." Now, did you see what he said? We're sinners. We're sinners. We sinned against the Lord. And the judgment of God has sent serpents that forever had sinned. And when they got bit, they died. Here's the illustration of God's love. Man deserves death for his sin. There's no man that doesn't. And here they're sinning against God. They're sinning against him. They're complaining, and this is sin. And in the character of God, in his holiness, in his righteousness, and in his justice of who he is, it is fair, it is right, and holy to send men to death. By the character of God. This is the love of God illustrated. Scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death." It also says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned. And so in God's character, he can send fiery serpents. But listen to what he says next. Verse 8 and 9, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who's bitten, when he looks at it, he will live.' And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it came about that if the serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived." That's God's love illustrated. That's the love of God demonstrated. If you look upon, you will not die. You see it. What did they deserve? Death. But because of God's love for them, he provided the deliverance from sin. The Jewish teacher would have saw this clearly. Back to John 3, "As I be lifted up, like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, whoever believe in me," this is Jesus saying that, "the Son of Man, the Son of God, he will have eternal life. He will not die." It's the love of God illustrated. Christ continues to teach, and he tells them this next. He says the love of God is given. Look what he says in verse 16 and 17. Let's read what Jesus says next to him. He says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He did not come to condemn. He did not come to judge. He came to save, to bring salvation, rescue, deliverance from sin's penalty, from death, not just physical death, spiritual death, but death that separates us from God forever." I want you to look at this with me for a moment. What's the motive for salvation here? Do you see the motive? What's the motive to send Christ so that you might be saved? so you will live? Is the motive that you're so cute? Is the motive that you're so needed? Is the motive that you're so wanted, you're so treasured that God has to save you? What's the motive? What's the motive for salvation's offer? God so loved. The motive is God's love. Now remember all the character and nature of God, and the ones that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, He is sovereign. In all that God is, God has a right to do what's right. God has a right to do what's just. God has a right to deal with what is against His holiness. But the motive for salvation offer is God so loved. There's only one reason God makes salvation available. It's His love. We know that as a church. We know the motive is His heart is to love us to and desire for us to know Him and to know His love. That's the motive, God's love. What's the object? Look in the text in verse 16. What's the object of His love? For God so loved the world. Is it the good people, the nice people, the tall people, the short people, the good-looking people? Is it the righteous people, the holy people? Is it the wrong people, the right people? Is it the funny-looking people? We would say so. Look around. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save which is lost. It's the lost people. Let me ask you, who's lost? Who's lost? Humanity. Apart from faith in Christ, we're all lost. The object of God's love is the lost. It's the world. It's humanity. God loves humanity. We're not to hate humanity. We're not to hate people. Now, we hate sin, God hates sin, but He loves the lost. So the motive for salvation is God's love. The object of His love is humanity. We're just kind of looking at this. What's the action of His love? What's the action that acts on behalf of someone else by choice with passion that demonstrates His love? Look at the text, verse 16. He gave His only begotten Son. That's love demonstrated. That's love's definition. That's love in action. That's the love of God in action. He gave His only begotten Son. That's the act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion. Begotten Son is a little confusing. You might look at it this way. He gave His unique Son, His one-of-a-kind Son, His beloved Son, the Son of His love. Scripture says it that way. That's what God did. God the Father gave His Son of His love. He gave His unique Son, the one-of-a-kind Son, His beloved Son. The word so here in the text, God so loved the world, means this, in this way, this is how this is written. God in this way loved humanity that He gave the Son of His love. That's how that's written. It's in this way. It's the depth of the love of God is that He gave His Son. What did He give Him to? Jesus said it simply in Matthew 20. 17 and following, I think. He said, I'm going up to Jerusalem to be mocked, despised, scourged, tortured, and be crucified to death on the cross, and on the third day I will rise from the dead. He gave His beloved Son to that. We know that as a church, as a body of Christ. To demonstrate His love for us, His love for you, the love of God given, to die for your sins. This is the message of Christianity. Now let me ask you why. The motive is He loved. The object is humanity. The action is He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Look at the text, 16. So, whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Listen to the definition of perish. So he would not perish. Perish means here, Nicodemus would have heard it this way. To be eternally lost, separated from God forever, hell. But in all who believe, they will have eternal life. This is what this means. A life reconciled to God, now and forever, through eternity, heaven, called salvation. Jesus has answered the heart of Nicodemus. Where's my assurance of heaven, and how do I know if I'm reconciled by God? Jesus says, believe in the love of God. You know that that's what it is in the world that people reject when they reject Christ, when people are confused about Christ, when people have in their heart, well, you know, to surrender my life to Christ or to give my life to Christ or to follow Christ or all those kind of things are denying or they're difficult or why would God be that way? The truth is, all who have come to Christ, believe in Christ, have put their faith in the love of God. And people don't believe in the love of God. People don't want to put their trust and their heart in the love of God. And God has worked in our life and brought about the work in our heart so we would display the love of God. So what's the means of salvation in our text? What's the means? The motive, the object, the action is God love given through Christ to humanity. What's the means? Belief. Trust. Faith in him. Faith in the standard raised. Like I said, it's the love of God believed. Anytime it says in the Bible, it says in him, that we have to put our faith in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this. He's talking about our faith in who he is, why he came, what he did. He's the Son of God. He's God himself. He came to pay the penalty of your sin. What he did, he lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave. Resurrection Sunday. You put your faith in him, he's the love of God demonstrated. Simply, it's faith in that he lives. Right, believers? Simply in our life, that's what it is each and every day. It's faith in that Christ lives. He's a living Savior. And if he lives, all of this is true. Everything that God has said, everything that God has teaches, everything that God encourages us in, everything that God has declared is absolutely true, objective truth. Jesus said in John 14:19, if I live, you will live also. Did he say if? No, he said because. He said, because I live, you will live also. Because he lives, all that put their faith and belief and trust in Christ will live. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Faith in him, yes, in the cross. Yes, in his crucifixion. Yes, that he came to take the sin upon his shoulders to pay the penalty for our sin. But yes, that God raised him from the dead. That's the proof of the power of God to have victory over life and death and all. And he lives. He is a living Lord and Savior. Church, what's the song? Ask me how I know he lives. Ask me how I know he lives. Now, do you guys think that was pretty weak? Do I have to get the praise team up here to help you guys live it? Ask me how I know he lives, because he lives. That's not make-believe. That's not a song that we sing that we just sing the song. Because this is so real that Christ is so alive that when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our life became in union with Christ so much so that we know that he walks with us every day through the Holy Spirit. That Christ lives in us each and every day, guiding and leading us and showing us and encouraging us, giving us hope each and every day. We know he lives. The love of God is illustrated. The love of God is given. It's believed. It answers all hearts' cry. And the final point today, the love of God lived. You think it needs to be lived? With what we just looked at, with what Jesus just said, with what Jesus just said to Nicodemus, and just encouraging him to put his faith and trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the love of God demonstrated. He is the love of God given for to humanity. Whoever would believe would not die. We're all dead. Isn't it interesting that in this life that people, all of us are bit. Some people say, I'm not bit. I don't sin. I'm like, okay, we all sin, right? But isn't it interesting that sometimes in their heart, I'll do everything but look at the standard. Because looking at the standard means that God is the Savior. And I need saved. But the love of God is to be lived. Jesus is talking here. We all know this as a church. It's to be lived out. Not just to save us, not to just deliver us, not just to rescue us. The love of God is lived. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. That's so true, isn't it? Let me ask you guys, is that so true? We love because he first loved us? I never knew true love until I knew the love of Christ. I remember that day, that week, that month. I remember it every day. Until I put my faith in the demonstration of God's true love, God's love. And what happened is I can love now like God loves. That's all of us, isn't it? That's the transformation that took place in our life and our faith in Christ. He now lives in us. He lives within our heart. And what is Jesus Christ? What did he come to do? To seek and to save the lost and be a demonstration of the love of God. And so if Jesus Christ lives in us, that we sing, I know he lives because he lives in us and he lives in me, and I know what he's doing. He's wanting me to demonstrate the love of God to all around me. In 1 John 4:7 and 9, a few verses earlier, it says this. Listen to what it says. Let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves, remember its definition, is born of God and knows God, for the love of God was manifested in us through Jesus Christ, was made aware, made alive, shown in our salvation. Romans 5:5 says it this way, the love of God has been poured out within us. It's overflowing in our life by the Holy Spirit, God's love. It's to be lived by those who have believed in it. Those that have put their trust in God's love shown, displayed through Jesus Christ. We know this. We battle for this. We deal with our own hearts for this. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way, this love of Christ, his love for us to willingly, by his own choice, give up his life for us, it says it this way, it controls us. It overwhelms us in the way we are to live. Those who have believed in the love of God in Christ get to love, get to display, get to show, to demonstrate. Amen? Shouldn't we be celebrating? You get to demonstrate the love of God each and every day that we're here. I got one final point I want to close with. I'm going to go ahead and ask the praise team to come up. You guys go ahead and come up and prepare for our last song. And as he comes up, the thought today, the message today, the love of God that's to be on our heart is that what we see in Christ, what we see in the life and death and resurrection of Christ is the love of God illustrated, it given, and then what happens when it's believed. It becomes what we live. And I have to ask you something today. If you're here today and you don't know about the love of God, maybe this is the first time you heard about the love of God or about the love of Christ or about the truth of Christ. Let me tell you something. We as a church family, we as a body of Christ, are willing to share with you whatever we need to share with you. We're willing to act on behalf of you by choice, with passion, because God did it on our behalf. Now, you know us and we're not perfect. You know us and God is at work in our life, leading and guiding and teaching us. But we're willing to talk with you, to meet with you, whatever is needed. And we'll pray asking God to help us love you. Now let me ask you, if you're here today and you've heard about the love of God, you've heard about the truth of Christ, you've heard the gospel, the good news, you've heard about Christ dying for your sin and raising from the dead, but you haven't believed in God's love, we're here to help you with that also. We're willing to spend our time with you. We're willing to talk with you. We're willing to give of ourselves to you. And you know what? Even if you don't want to today, there's a phone registry back there. Let me ask you, church, if somebody that was here today called you tomorrow and said, I want to meet you and talk about Jesus Christ, who would show up? Because that's what God has done in our life. He's poured out his love in our life. He's given us the love of God. He's asked us to live that love in amidst the ones that he loves, the lost. That's how I got saved, how you got saved. And we're willing. We won't have to twist each other's arm too hard to reach out to one another. Church, let's rise on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's go before the Lord in prayer before we do with our closing song, and then we will journey out into our day together and all that God has planned and purposed for us today. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as it was shared today, how could we thank you with just words? I could speak for hours and it wouldn't be enough. We could express each and every thanksgiving that we have and go around the room and share our gratitude in words, and it wouldn't be enough. So we come before you, Father, and we ask that may our lives, the way we live, speak of the gratitude that we have for your love. Help us, Lord. Help us today. Help us tomorrow. Father, we pray for those that would be in our life today and that we may meet, that we would can encourage them in the truth of Christ. We pray for our times together as we share food and family and fun and just reaching out to each other. We pray, Lord, that central to our heart has been this message of the love of God shed abroad in us. We come before you and ask, may that we represent you to all in our life by word and deed what you demonstrated to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lead us in the closing song.
You have search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord. I will sing the come down.
Have a blessed day.